Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are back this week in studio with a special guest calling in from St. Paul, Minnesota area. Gay Linfors is with us this evening, and Gay sits on the national leadership team for Lori Beth Jones, Inc. She also runs her own company called Significant Solutions, Inc., which, Gay, we are just delighted to hear that word, significant. It kind of fits in with our discussions tonight. So we're glad that you're here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here, Shelley.
Well, we're glad to have you. And also in studio, we have Lori Beth Jones, best-selling author of 14 books, and the book leading our discussion this evening is Jesus in Blue Jeans. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
We are excited to be here tonight to talk about these two specific chapters in the power section of the Omega Leadership Series. And this week we're looking at authenticity and entitlement, two interesting words to be found in under the section of power. It was kind of interesting that they fell into that section. And so maybe, Lori Beth, as you open up, you can guide us into your understanding of how an Omega leader uses authenticity and entitlement, when to use it, how does it show up, all those kinds of questions that are stirring in our minds and probably in the minds of the listeners as we share this time with you this evening. So welcome to the show, and we'll ask you just to kick it off for us.
Well, in the book Jesus in Blue Jeans, I share in this particular chapter that I have always loved dressing up in cowgirl outfits, and I don't mean with the skirts. I needed the jeans because I'm riding horses, right? So my mother tells a story that when I was a little girl, the carpool people came to pick me up, and I was standing there, and I had my blue jeans and my boots and my holster and the whole get-up, and the carpool lady said, "So, is it dress-up day today?" And I looked at her, and I said, "No." And so, you know, it's just true for me. And then my grandparents shared the story that I came to visit them. This was about 3 years later, and I was wearing, I had an old rope tied around my brand new blue jeans that Mom had bought me. And they said, "Lori Beth, what are you doing with that old rope?" And I said, "My pants were too new." And so, there's this part of me, and I don't know, it probably comes from being raised on Bonanza and the Lone Ranger and the Rifleman and all of that, where I just longed to be in the Old West. And in the book, I share the story of being in some antique store, I don't remember where it was, maybe in Santa Fe, and I was wearing my cowboy chaps and my boots because I had been riding, and I heard this voice holler out, "Are you for real?" And I looked around and I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "That way you're dressed, is that really you?" And I said, "Yes, it's really me." And she went in the back and she came back and she brought out this beautiful antique bridle with silver. And she said, "I've been saving this for someone who I figured was real." Mm-hmm. And she gave it to me. And it made me think about Christ, how he has so many treasures to share with us, but not if we're wearing phony clothes. Not if we're pretending to be someone or something that doesn't suit us or isn't, you know, we're not happy in our own skin. So that's what I want to open the show with is, I see by your outfit that you are a cowboy. What outfit are you wearing that, is it real? Is it you? Are you being authentic? Okay, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think back to a story that maybe 30 years ago when you're talking about what clothes are you wearing, how are you showing up. It's so easy when we start dating someone to try and become the person that we think that person wants us to be. Do you know what I mean? So we,
yeah.
whether it's the clothes we wear or what we eat or how we act, we're trying to impress the guy. And as time goes on, hopefully that will kind of fade away. But if it doesn't, we tend to become the person then that that he or she wants us to be. And then we start running into trouble. And then once we become inauthentic in that relationship, it can so easily spill over into our business lives or our church lives or wherever. So when you ask the question about what clothes are you wearing, I think in real life, I remember going through a time when, I need to wear such and such because that's what he expects. Not a good place to be.
No. Shelley's looking very perplexed with this conversation. You must have a thought or two to share.
Well, you know, I just think everything that you both have said so far tonight about this word authentic and authenticity is a powerful way to live, you know, in the world. We often think more about what others think than spending time thinking about who we are. And so I looked up authenticity, you know, just to see what this word meant for sure. Are we really close to it? But I love this definition of the quality of being genuine or not corrupted from the original. And so as we unpack that in the form of leadership tonight on this show, when we're talking about an Omega leader is cut from the same cloth. You know, we're talking about clothes here, but if we look at the cloth of leadership and we really put those clothes of leadership on, an Omega leader is cut from the same cloth, from the original cloth of the original Omega leader, authenticity is a big part of that, and being real in our skin before we put the clothes on of leadership. And so maybe, Gay, and, you know, Gay, you come with a deep experience and expertise in corporate America, having moved through Northwest Airlines. You've dealt with authentic and inauthentic folks, I'm sure, as a leader. And how has that that word served you as a leader up to this point?
In the business world, when I see an authentic leader, it's almost as if you can sense it right away because, to use your phrase, they're comfortable in their own skin. And I think of it in terms of if someone is authentic, they are presenting themselves with credibility and vulnerability. So they have the expertise. They are not shy about saying what they are good at and how well they can lead. At the same time, it doesn't come from a place of ego, and they are willing to let us see a little bit of their vulnerability when they have questions or when they're trying to decide what to do about something or if they've made a mistake. It's finding that balance between credibility and vulnerability. That's where I see it in the workplace with leaders.
I think, too, to your point about confidence mixed with or mingled with humility or a sense of wonder. I was reading an article today that children laugh about 500 times a day and adults laugh about 15. And Jesus said, you must become like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. Children have this sense of wonder, and their mouths are constantly forming a wow when they see things. It's not, they don't sit in the seat of scoffers, you know, the cynical, the know-it-alls, the which I think leads into the entitlement thing that we're going to talk about next. But I think authenticity does go with vulnerability and with a childlike mind that I'm here to learn. I don't know it all. I don't have to know it all because I'm a learner. I'm a lifelong learner, and there's going to be more to learn even in heaven.
Lori Beth, when you pen these words and you look at Jesus as the original Omega leader, and in this particular chapter, towards the end of the chapter, you said Jesus was authentic. How, tell us a little bit more about that, about Jesus' authenticity as a leader. How did that show up with in his relationships, how he spent his time, where he invested in other people, how he led the team, how he addressed the politicians and the religious leaders of the day. How did that authenticity show up with the Omega Leader?
I think that one of the most beautiful things and amazing things about Jesus in Scripture, the recorded portions that we have, is that he displays a wide and fluctuating range of emotions, from delight to anger to grief to despair to discouragement to loneliness, even, dare we say, fear in the Garden of Gethsemane. I was watching, I go to movies all the time, as people who know me know that I do, and I was watching the previews for the Transformers. And these are huge machines, and their eyes are dilating with mechanical precision, and, you know, they boom, boom, they walk across the planet, and they crush people with their fists. And that's sort of the Old Testament vision of God that many of us hold. And yet Jesus didn't show up that way. He was totally vulnerable. In fact, dying naked on a cross, you would never see a Transformer hero stripped to the fleshly essence of vulnerability. And on the Path Community call yesterday, I was sharing that I've been studying artwork a lot. My mother is an artist, and there was a painting called David Without His Armor, and it was done in kind of the Dutch master style with a lot of shadow and very literal flesh tones. And David Without His Armor, it showed him with his helmet still on, but he had kind of a loincloth draped across him, and he was sitting, and you could see the muscles in his calves. And he looked exposed, and I don't mean that in any sensual sense. I mean that he was vulnerable. It was just him and his helmet and his loincloth, and that's how he was going to face the giant, because the armor that he had put on before to please the king, you know, Saul sent his armor over to David, didn't work for him. And he had, there was a moment where he had to just take it off and say, I'm going to go with what I've got and with who I am. And I believe that's the essence of Omega leadership. I'm going to go with what I've got, with who I am.
The wowzy concept.
And it seems to me that he was able to do that because he was so clear on his mission and his vision, which is, of course, Lori Beth, what you write about so much in all of your books, whether we're talking about Jesus or David or you or I or anyone else. If we are clear on our mission, that and this divine calling that God has placed on our lives for being on this earth, and then how we're going to live that out, if we're clear on that, that gives us permission to be credible and to be vulnerable, because it's simply about living out who God intended us to be. And I think that's then where you find that power, because you are clear on who you are, what God wants you to do, and you can be authentic, resting and trusting in what he has put you on this earth to do.
That is so powerful, Gay. And, you know, I've been teaching this for many years, and I know you've got a workshop coming up. We're very excited about that. But I was, when I recently did a Reinvent Your Life workshop as kind of a prototype, and we had 14 amazing people come. And then I did coaching afterwards with some of the people who wanted to go deeper. And there was this one person who feels compelled to build wealth. And I said, why do you want to build this wealth? And she said, in order to release it for the kingdom. But when I looked at her, she was a wind fire, and all of the words that she had in her mission statement were build, finance, structure. And then she said, kind of in the vision statement, to liberate people. And I said, well, what if you let other people build it and your job or your mission was to help them release it? But she struggled with that concept because she was still seeing herself as the transformer, you know, in the financial world. And just a shift of a word. There's a big difference between liberating wealth and
mm-hmm.
building wealth. And I think as masters of this, like you are, as you shape so carefully the mission process with the people entrusted to you, it can make a huge difference in the direction of their life and how they see themselves.
Any
yeah.
last thoughts from you, Gay, in the sense of this mission and vision, you know, how that really does help to shape authenticity before we move into entitlement?
I would just say for our listeners, if you are not clear on your mission, why God has put you on this earth, go to Lori Beth's website, download that free working document, and get clear on it, because your authenticity will become, it'll become easier, it'll become clearer, and it will change your life. I would just add that.
Yeah, great. Yeah, great plug for that free mission download. There's nothing better, I believe, in this life than knowing who you are, where you're going, and how you're going to get there. I mean, that is the essence of the path. But wow, how authenticity is built into that. That's a beautiful way to transition. So thank you both for that. Entitlement. Wow, this is an interesting match with authenticity. It's almost like the hat and the shoes kind of thing as I sit here and think about the word entitlement. But Lori Beth, when you wrote this, Jesus as the Omega Leader had no sense of entitlement. Talk to us about that chapter a little bit.
Well, the verse, I believe, says that even though he was entitled, let me read it exactly here. Where is it? Who, being in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something owed him, but instead he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Mm. Boy, you could contemplate that scripture the rest of your life.
Mm.
He, mm-hmm. being equal to God, he did not think it was owed to him, but instead he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, servant leadership. And I think it's important for us to distinguish elementally how people serve and how people lead, mm. because as a wind fire, I'm not going to be the water probably washing your feet. I mean, that's just not my, it's not in my nature to do that. What is in my nature as a wind fire is to lift you up when you're when you're discouraged, and to point you in a new direction and to say you can do this, you know. So understanding that about yourself elementally gives you so much more power in the servant leadership model than just beating yourself up because you're not the way you think that a servant leader should be. So the sense of entitlement, which I know that I'm guilty of all the time because I'm an American. And, you know, I mean, we're born with it, right? I'm an American. You owe me. And the sense of being a businesswoman, I'm used to having things done and sort of being in control of certain situations. So when I enter into a different situation and I bring that, I don't know, kind of that military bearing into a situation, maybe with family, for example, it doesn't go over too well. That entitlement does not fly, let me tell you.
Wow. Thanks for setting that up. Gay, do you have some thoughts around this topic?
When I think of entitlement in the business world and in those leadership roles, I think of the first thing that comes to my mind is a leader who believes he or she is entitled to be followed or entitled to respect simply because they are the boss or they have the title. And as I thought about that, I was reminded about the importance of finding the balance between positional power and personal power, needing both of them at different appropriate times in the workplace. But that sense of entitlement can feed so much into that positional power. So these leaders who I would choose to follow, and I think the ones who you find people love working with are those who don't believe they are entitled to be followed. They simply show up and they command the power simply because of who they are as a person. And people follow. They like them. They respect them. But they don't feel that they owe it to them.
I love that distinction you made between positional power
Beautiful.
And personal power. I'm going to ponder that for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I have found it in the workplace to think about when I am making a decision as a boss, what is influencing how I'm going to make the decision or how I'm going to communicate the decision? And am I doing it because I can and I'll show them, or am I communicating or messaging because this is what I think is really best for everybody, and then that will show up in a different tone or different words.
Right, so playing on that concept or the thought that you just shared, the right, entitlement is like having the right of the benefits. So if we're talking about a particular office within an organization, or let's say a pastoral role in a church or the CEO of a hospital, there's certain benefits and privileges, right, that come with those titles or with those jobs.
Yes.
How does an Omega leader, Lori Beth and Gay, wrestle with those rights and privileges? How far do we go before we cross the line and it becomes arrogance, right? How far do we go? And what can we give our listeners who are going to dial into this show, some listening right now, others that will listen later, what are those benchmarks out there that get our attention and say, oops, we're moving from entitlement into arrogance here? Can you talk to us about that, Lori Beth, and then Gay?
I think one of the things to do is really watch our language, watch our vocabulary. And I have a friend who was speaking at a very, very large church in the South, and the pastor said, this is mine. This campus is mine.
Hmm.
And it just struck her as though it was all donation money. So in one sense, his leadership had helped bring it about, but the notion that it was his, that's just a fine line where you just cross that. And we see that with Gideon in the Bible. He won a battle. You know, he starts out in the wine vat hiding, and then the next thing you know, God has made him victorious, and he decides to celebrate, and part of the celebration is that he okays the design for them to put his face on a coin or something similar to that, and oh, that was just not good. That did not end well for Gideon, let me tell you. So I think one thing to really watch is our language. And when we cross that line, it is a very subtle line, and it's easy to cross.
Hmm. I agree. The power in words and the tone of our voice when we are communicating with our employees or with our stakeholders or our boards of directors. I also think when it comes to crossing that line with entitlement, it seems to me, and this is just my observations from the work world, that the more perks and the more benefits that both employees and leaders get as they move up in the organization, the more that they seem to want and expect. Now, I'm generalizing because we have a lot of amazing leaders who do not behave this way. But a lot of times they get and then they want more. And we've seen it in corporate America over the last 2 years. So I think that another caution is boards of directors or executive teams need to know that they have the permission or the responsibility to say to a top leader, let's take a step back and figure out why you think you need to do it or why you need to say that. So there is an accountability that is required that will help leaders from crossing that line. And then I also think it's interesting that these two topics are together tonight, because entitlement will not be as much of an issue for leaders if they go back to that authentic leadership of knowing their mission, their vision, and also serving with credibility and vulnerability.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Of course, I scan the news, the internet news, like most people probably do, or many people do, and I was tickled and kind of appalled that one of our senators, who has run for president on the platform of peace, bit into an olive pit in a sandwich and is now suing the sandwich shop for $150,000. So it makes you wonder about his message of peace for nations.
Mm-hmm.
When he's suing someone over an olive pit, you know, this is a man who is an elected senator, for Pete's sakes. So it really is, authenticity is being able to turn yourself inside out, and sometimes God will send a situation to expose the inside out, and sometimes it's the trickster. I saw a painting not too long ago of Kris Kringle, the prototype of Santa Claus, and he was bearing gifts, and right behind him, it was a Swedish painting, one of those kind of weird ones, and behind him was a jokester. And in the tradition, the gift always comes with mischief behind it. So I think the Omega leader would be wise to think about that as we contemplate our many gifts.
Mm-hmm.
There's opportunity for much mischief.
You know, Lori, I was reading through some of the questions in this section of entitlement, and you know, I think it's all your questions are always powerful questions, thought provoking, takes us to a deeper place, maybe the hidden reservoir of our lives that we don't visit very much. And this particular one really stuck out. When and how have you taken off your crown and taken up the empty bucket? Wow.
Hmm.
You know, when was the last time, you know? That really puts the rubber at the road, right? When you are the one that takes the trash out when everybody else on staff has gone home and the trash still needs to be taken out, or you as the leader realize that, you know, some other call has been made and there's no one else to do it and you do it, that emptying of ourselves, similarly to the servant leadership example you gave a little while ago, but that is such a powerful place. I mean, just contemplating that question, like, when was the last time I emptied my bucket? You know, I took off the crown, laid it aside. Wow, great question. And I'm still trying to, you know, kind of struggle with that. You can see that it's impacted me very, very much. But thank you for that, and thank you for writing this content and sharing it with. We are almost out of time, maybe just a minute here, but thank you so much, Gay, for your place on the show. And any last thoughts from you, and then we'll hand it off to Lori Beth.
Tell us about your workshop and the date.
Oh, I have a workshop coming up on Saturday, February 5th here in St. Paul, and I'm so excited. We are going to be discovering our mission, our vision, and how do we live it out, and the group of people that are coming are really excited, looking forward to getting clarity and moving forward. Thank you.
And how can people reach you to find out about that?
You can go to my website at significantsolutionsinc.com. I'd love to have anyone else come. And thank you, Shelley and Lori Beth, for the pleasure and honor of joining you this evening. Thank you.
Yay, I've known you for a long time, and you are just bring a breath of fresh air and illumination and intelligence with this sense of delight that's just one of a kind, very authentic, always a joy to be around you. Thank you for being on the show. Shelley, thank you for being so faithful and always making the show happen. Blessings to you all, and good night.